The following program is a commentary program. The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of Dale Jackson, his guests, and callers. They do not represent the views of Cumulus Broadcasting, its management, or this station. It's live. It's local. It's the Dale Jackson Show on News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM. WVNN online at WVNN.com and on your smartphone on iHeartRadio.
News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN News Time, 8:07 here on your Tuesday morning. I'm Dale Jackson. The phone number is 1-866-494-WVNN, 1-866-494-9866. Did I read this right? Rolando McClain, once again, North Alabama's most famous football star, has once again decided he is quitting football. Is that right, Jason? Rolando McClain is hanging it up yet again?
Yes, but they would like to say that he's retiring from football.
Did he retire once already?
Well, he quit once already, yes.
So he quit once, and now he's retiring.
No, he's quitting again.
Is there a reason? Did he give a reason? What I read, I guess what I saw, at least correct me if I'm wrong here, what I read was he couldn't do the workouts.
Well, that I am from other tweets that I was reading as well and throughout, that his heart wasn't in it. His heart wasn't in it anymore. So,
poor guy. My offer still stands to be his life coach to help him out. Keep him out of trouble. I'll come with you to Baltimore. Pay me enough money. I'll quit my job. I'll move to Baltimore. I'll be your life coach. And basically, my job...
The man's already gone through enough, Dale.
No, but my job would consist of, hey, don't do that. No, don't do that either. Dude, don't do that. Rolando, don't do that. No, don't do that. Don't hold the gun near the guy's head and fire it into the ground. Stop running around with people who were your boys growing up. Stop it. Knock it off. That would be the extent of my job. I think I can do a pretty good job at it. Anyway, we were talking about Lowell Barrett a minute ago. Well, now it appears that the appeals judges are having to recuse themselves. Yep. Alabama Chief Justice Roy Moore will have to pick someone to help decide how far the state's attorney general's office can go exploring the relationship between a state senator and campaign aide charged with misusing campaign funds. Why is it when these guys get busted, there is always a little hanky-panky going on? Didn't we see that recently with, what was his name? Jerry Craig? Wasn't that the case there as well? Didn't we hear that there was a little bit of hanky-panky going on there in the county shed when he was hooking her up with some cash while they were stealing money? And now that's the same thing that they're alleging in this case? And it's pretty funny that Lowell Barron's entire defense is based on suppressing the fact that he was plowing, and that's what he was doing, one of his aides, Jill Johnson. The attorney general wants the appeals court to overturn a ruling by Circuit Judge Randall Cole. He ruled prosecutors could present evidence of a personal relationship between Lowell Barrett and campaign aide Jill Simpson, but they couldn't present evidence of a romantic relationship. Now, I don't know what the reasoning of that is. Why they can't present evidence of a romantic relationship. You know why? They want to, because it appears they can show it's there. They can show it's there, but they don't want to say, oh, no. They don't want them to prove it. I don't get it. I don't get it. After that initial ruling, Lowell Barron turned around and accused State Attorney General Luther Strange of conducting a witch hunt. And now he's denying him his day in court. Well, that's not really true. You're not being denied your day in court. They're arguing about whether or not they should be able to point out that you were plowing your secretary right before you started giving her money. That's what they're arguing. Now, whether or not you were or not, that's not my problem. Whether or not you want to, that's your problem. And listen, I don't get it. You don't hear anybody saying, hey, we didn't do it. I had nothing to do with this. I didn't do it. No. It's just, oh, you can't use this information. Get out of here. Little Baron. I wish this guy was running for another election. I really do. He said it's a witch hunt. They're denying me my day in court. DeKalb County Judge Randall Cole issued the order delaying the trial because of the appeal. Yes. You see, when Barron's attorneys say we want to stop something from being in court, they do it. And then when the attorney general's office says, well, hold on one second, we need to appeal this, that's denying their day in court. So it's a silly thing, and it works on some of the rooms, apparently.
Is that like denying the day of their court?
No, that's nothing like that. Okay. Joe and Coleman, you're on the Dale Jackson Show. What's going on?
Well, regardless of what happens in this court case, Alabama's a better place for him out of the political system. This is a guy who got a speeding ticket and then turned around and passed a law that took the ability to enforce traffic laws away from probably a dozen municipalities in Alabama just because he got a speeding ticket.
Was he the one who passed that law?
Yeah, he was, as I recall, he was the one that got the ticket that started that.
Are you referring to the law that says lawmakers can't get tickets while they're in session? That one?
Well, it's what it is. He said if you're a municipality that whose limits are on the interstate, you can't run radar on the interstate.
Yeah, okay. This is a speed trap one. So he did away with the speed traps because he got caught in a speed trap.
Well, there's a lot of other ways to get rid of speed traps. He did this so that he could drive 100 miles an hour up and down the interstate.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Hey, listen, I don't think anybody said, hey, that Lowell Barron is a good guy or a legit politician. I don't think anybody's claiming that. But, I mean, this guy, wow. And at least, and the whole hook here is that they don't want people talking about, they don't want, the jury and judges hearing about the romantic relationship between the two of them because that makes it a little more obvious that there was a little payoff thing going on. So Lowell Barron is not complaining that he wants his day in court. He's complaining about the fact of what they want to bring to court. Now, if he can refute it, he should go over there and blow it up. But that's not what he wants to do. He wants to suppress evidence. He wants to do all these other things. Just like the whole, I'll reiterate something from yesterday. Just like Reuben Hurricane Carter. When we hear a lot about Reuben Hurricane Carter and how he was innocent and how dare anyone besmirch his name and all these other things. Well, let's all remember Reuben Hurricane Carter was never vindicated by any stretch. He got off on a procedural mistake. That's what he got off on. And that's kind of what Lowell Barron is arguing for. He's arguing procedure, which is his right to do so, by the way. No one is begrudging him the right to argue his procedural errors or whatever. No one's begrudging him that. He should be able to do that, and I hope he gets his day in court. However, just keep in mind, his day in court is best served. He is best served in his day in court by suppressing evidence that he was plowing his secretary. There's no other way for me to put it. Al Hartzell, you're on the Dale Jackson Show. What's going on?
Same old thing, Dale, trying to make a living.
I hear you.
He had a tractor company up in Rainsville for a long time. He always seemed to get the state contracts to lease those tractors. Wonder why.
The same one
that called a lady senator during session he called a certain young state senator an SOB, and he got that for it.
Oh, that's correct.
This is a real good character.
Yes, I didn't know he called a state senator a B. I never heard that one. I did know that he got his head knocked in by Charles Bishop for referring to him as an SOB, and I had Charles Bishop on my show after that happened, and Charles Bishop was like, yeah, I did it. I most certainly did. I mean, there was no question.
So what is this now turned to, Lowell Barron? This is your life?
I guess. I mean, look, I think the point that the callers are making is Lowell Barron is a pretty bad dude. I mean, that's essentially the point they're making, and they can get him off of this corruption thing if they want, in this campaign finance hook if they can, but it won't change the fact that he's a pretty bad dude. Stay tuned. More of your phone calls, more of Lowell Barron, This Is Your Life. If you've got a slam you want to put on Lowell Barron, by all means, 1-866-494-WVNN, 1-866-494-9866. It's the Dale Jackson Show, live and local, News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, depend on it. Hey folks, Dale Jackson here to tell you about my friends at Storm Guard Shelters, the premier and most qualified storm shelter providers in the valley. Now listen, people tell me, well, I'll just hide in a bathroom or under the stairs or whatever. Well listen folks, that's not going to cut it. You need a trusted name like Storm Guard Shelters, who, by the way, exceed FEMA regulations on all their shelters. They build shelters above and below ground, and those things are the real deal, folks. 256-323-7985. That's 256-323-7985, or online at stormguardshelters.com. Listen, we all know the risks associated with living in Tornado Alley, but when it comes to protecting your family, nothing matters more. You need to call my friends at Storm Guard Shelters today. 256-323-7985. That's 256-323-7985, because you never know when the next tornado might come rolling through, leaving nothing but destruction in its wake. Go online, too, and check them out. Go see my friends at StormGuardShelters.com. And when you talk to my friends at Storm Guard Shelters, tell them Dale Jackson sent you. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, News Time, 823, here on your Tuesday morning. Lowell Barron, This Is Your Life, continues. Emailer mentions that Lowell Barron held up Auburn appropriations in order to be appointed a trustee of the school. That's awesome. I love this guy. Am I the only one that loves this guy? I mean, it's incredibly awesome.
You like him because he gives you so much material?
No, I like him because he is just so incredibly ridiculous. I mean, the things you hear about this guy cannot possibly be true. That's why. I love him because they just can't possibly be true. They cannot possibly be true. I've heard about the speed trap stuff. I've heard about the other stuff. We know about the campaign finance scandal. But when, you know, there was also the folks who argued that he was running around helping folks, or excuse me, giving money to folks to vote for him. There was that argument as well. I found this story from the past at AL.com. From a speed trap to the punch, Lowell Barron had a colorful career in the Senate. That's a nice way of saying he's an SOB. But okay, there we go. April 23rd. 2013. Barron is booked into DeKalb County Jail on charges not immediately announced. Those charges, of course, we all know what they are, right? They are the charges of corruption, giving $50,000 to a campaign aid. Barron is appointed to a trustee as a trustee on the Auburn University board. He was first elected to the Senate after working as a pharmacist in his hometown in Fife. He was encouraged by Senator Mitchum to enter politics, and the two become close friends and political allies. In 1996, Barron sponsored legislation that became law that prohibited police departments in small towns from writing speeding tickets on the interstate. Barron sponsored the bill after being stopped, but not ticketed, for being clocked driving 90 miles an hour by two small-town police departments while traveling to Montgomery. So he wasn't stopped once, he was stopped twice. In defending the legislation, I love this guy. In defending the legislation, Barron said, "If I drove 65, I'd spend half my life in the car. I can't spend my time fiddling behind the wheel." That's awesome. Who doesn't like this guy? He is too busy. He is way too busy being a legislator than to go out and not be speeding. He has to speed. He has to. He later apologized for that comment, saying he was not above the law. Okay. In 2011 to 2012, Gerald Dial sponsored laws to overturn Barron's decisions, but both failed. Another bill in the 2013 session also went nowhere. June 7th, 2007, Barron 65 is punched in the head on the Senate floor on the last day of the 2007 legislative session by then 69-year-old Charles Bishop. A video of the punch shows a heated conversation between the senators before Barron swings his right arm at, before Bishop swings his right arm at Barron. Bishop became upset when Barron used Senate rules to stop a debate. The heated conversation culminated with Barron cursing at Bishop, according to Bishop, which led to the punch. Barron was not injured. Barron is narrowly voted out of office in 2010, denied an eighth term in the state Senate. He lost to political newcomer Shadrach McGill, who got just 628 more votes than Barron in winning with 50.8% of the vote. And then his life really started to go downhill in 2013, where he is booked on corruption charges and charges that he gave away. He gave away $50,000. I also saw somewhere where he gave $50,000 or $500,000 to lawyers. I forget exactly when he did that, but he gave $500,000 to lawyers right before at the end of that campaign, I believe. I got to find this number, and I got to look this up and give you the right number. But you need to know, hilariously, as this guy's life is deteriorating, that all he can do is argue, please, 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 please do not. Do not. And I'm guessing this is what he wants to see happen here. Do not let them enter into evidence the fact that I was, of course, a complete scumbag, not only as a legislator, but as a human being as well. The romantic affair between him and his staff is, again, not something that we've seen over or something we haven't seen over and over again. But it is something that's interesting to watch as people say, no, please don't put this into the court record. I don't want anyone to know. Yes, tell people we had a personal relationship, but don't tell people that we were plowing. That's the last thing we want people to know, because that will color the jury and they will find themselves finding it easier to convict me when they know that I'm sleeping with the woman. And this is his point. When they know that I'm sleeping with the woman who I gave the money to. So I got to ask, and this is just me, does this make him sound more guilty or less guilty? If your answer is anything but more guilty, you're doing this whole politics thing wrong. Okay? We know damn well that he gave this money to this woman, Jill Johnson, as he was sleeping with her. So good luck to him. I hope that they are unable to throw those or to get those things tossed out. I hope the appeals court says, yeah, we're going to go ahead and mention it. Because, it seems relevant, doesn't it? But as of right now, judges have said, oh, I don't want to be on this case, and have opted out and have recused themselves. So now Roy Moore is going to have to appoint somebody. Would Roy Moore appoint somebody? We'll, of course, hear that it's not fair. Roy Moore appointed this guy. How dare Roy Moore have to do his job? Oh, it's not fair. The deck is stacked against poor Lowell Barron. Stay tuned.
It's live. It's local. Hi, hi. It's the Dale Jackson Show on News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM. Hi, hi. WVNN online at WVNN.com and on your smartphone on iHeartRadio.
News Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN News Time 8:37 here on your Tuesday morning. You want to know how crazy some pro-abortion advocates are? And as a pro-choice person, I feel like I should be able to say this more so than most. abortion should be super legal, but super, super rare. It's not a major issue for me, but I feel like I need to add that caveat before I say anything about this. There are actually people in this state who are arguing that a mother should not be charged with a crime for doing cocaine while pregnant with a baby. We're not talking about abortion. We're not talking about aborting the fetus. And listen, those pro-lifers out there will say the following. Well, you think they should be able to kill the fetus, but they shouldn't be able to use coke? That doesn't make any sense. And if you slice it that way, then yes, it doesn't. But if you are carrying the child to full term, I also think abortion should be done very early in the pregnancy, not at all after the baby can feel pain or any of that stuff. That's just insanely cruel. But I understand the arguments on all sides of this. But as I read the comments that are left on these pages, I am confused. There was a Supreme Court of Alabama ruling the other day that essentially states the following. Sarah J.D. Hicks pled guilty for chemical endangerment of a child. Hicks ingested cocaine while pregnant with J.D., which resulted in J.D. testing positive for cocaine at the time of his birth. Hicks argued that the word child in the chemical endangerment statute did not apply to an unborn child. Now, again, if you want to argue that Alabama's abortion laws are too strict, I might agree with that. If you want to argue that about Alabama is obsessed with abortion, I would probably argue that too. Okay, both sides. But if you want to argue, and I'm trying to put this in terms that make any sense because it's hard to. If you want to argue that a baby being brought into this world with cocaine in its system should bear no penalty, you've got a problem. Hicks argued that the word child in the chemical endangerment statute did not apply to an unborn child. The trial court rejected that argument because it's moronic, relying on the Alabama Supreme Court decision in Encrom versus State, and the Criminal Court of Appeals affirmed in the trial court. Now, the Alabama Supreme Court ruled that the plain meaning of the word child, as the word is used in the chemical endangerment statute, includes an unborn child. The opinion goes on to state that the state has a legitimate interest in protecting the life of children from the earliest stages of their development and has done so by enacting the chemical endangerment statute. Now, is there a little bit of hypocrisy here on the part of the state? Sure there is, like I just pointed out. Of course there's a little bit of a hypocrisy here on the part of the state. Yeah, because if they wanted to go hardcore balls to the wall on this, well, taking the abortion pill, that would be considered a chemical endangerment of a child. Did you know that the abortion pill, by the way, is just three birth control pills? Did you know that? I was unaware of that, but I learned that someone told me that this week, and I was pretty shocked by that. Now, the concurring opinions by Chief Justice Roy Moore and Justice Tom Parker are particularly significant because they reveal the flaws in the U.S. Supreme Court abortion decisions, beginning with the 1973 case of Roe v. Wade. Excerpts of their concurring opinions are set forth below, and they reference what they say. Roy Moore, states have an affirmative duty to protect unborn human life under the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. And Justice Tom Parker says, quote, there's no basis for the viability standard. Liberty will continue to find no refuge in abortion jurisprudence until the courts refuse to violate the law of non-contradiction and, like Alabama, recognize an unborn child's inalienable right to life at every point, in every time, in every aspect, in every respect. There is no valid basis for the viability concern. From the child's earliest stage of development, the existence of an unborn child is separate from that of its mother. Accordingly, Alabama has an interest not only in promoting a sustainable society in a culture that appreciates life, but also in securing the blessings of liberty by protecting the right to life inherent in new life itself. Now, if I'm a pro-choicer, I shut up here. Because when you push this further, you're going to lose in the state of Alabama. And what they're saying here is, yes, clearly the child endangerment statute in the state of Alabama was meant for one reason only. People using drugs while they're pregnant. Stopping people who are using drugs while they're pregnant. Well, you may believe Tom Parker and Roy Moore have views that are maybe a tad bit out of the mainstream. Maybe not in Alabama, but nationally. And I mean, just a tad. I mean, just a smidge. Because I believe, depending on which poll you're looking at, it's like 54-46 or whatever. It's roughly 50-50. And there are some undecideds in there, too. But it's roughly 50% of Americans are okay with abortion. And then as you expand that out to the number of weeks and months, that number significantly plummets. I mean, there's no question about that, as it does with me and most sane people. But for these pro-life people, or excuse me, pro-choice people, just think about what they're arguing here. And this is the insanity of this argument. This is sort of like, let me put it this way. This is like people who are tired of liberals and their free speech policing coming out in defense of the guys who hung the noose around the kid. What was the name of that statue at Ole Miss, Jason? Do you remember what it was? What's the name of it? I forget which one it is.
Oh, for Meredith?
Yeah. James Meredith. They hung a noose around the statue of this kid going to school. And he was the first black kid at Ole Miss. Well, they went and they decided that that's a violation of the school honor code because, you know, the person who did that's a horrible, honorless person. And then up come some, I will call them conservatives. And what do they argue for? They argue in defense of the kids who stuck the noose around James Meredith's statue's neck. They argue for the fraternity that did that to be allowed to stay on campus. And I look at them and I say, why? Oh, even an unpopular speech is protected speech. Fine, great. No disagreement with any of that. But man, I tell you, you got to be a little smarter with your arguments. Do you really want to be the folks that are advocating in favor of drug-addicted children? Because that's what you're doing now. Do you really want to be the folks who are advocating in favor of free speech and hanging the noose around the first black kid who went to Ole Miss in the year 2014? You want to hang a noose around that statue, and then you want to advocate for him. Come on, folks. Come on. Common sense says you let those arguments lie. That's what common sense says. Oh, but if you allow that to happen, then you allow injustice to happen everywhere. Who's next to say certain speech isn't allowed? Well, Dale Jackson, I guess. Okay? If you're a pro-choicer and you're arguing in favor of drug-addicted babies because you're such an adamant pro-choicer, you're an imbecile. And if you believe that liberals are so out of control with their speech codes, etc., that you are willing to stand up and argue in favor of a guy who puts a noose around a black kid's statue, you've got a problem, too. Not a legal problem, a common sense problem, a political problem. Knock it off. Both are stupid. And by the way, you'll notice both of those positions in general are positions that I agree with. But I'm watching the people who are arguing those positions act so incredibly stupid that I find myself almost defending the other side for their common sense reactions. You place the noose around the statue of the first black kid that went to Ole Miss, yeah, your fraternity probably should be looked at. And if they've got a bunch of problems, they should be removed from the campus. That's what happened. And the kids who did it, yeah, they're gone too. They'd had some other racial incidents in the past, as well as some drinking and other stuff that they had to address. And again, the drinking stuff is a no-brainer. It's just used as a sweetener to kick them off the campus. So understand that. If the college campus was going to crack down on every fraternity that allowed drinking, there would be no fraternities on the campus. Or athletic programs or groups of any kind. I played softball and we drank. Okay, so let's just make sure that we understand that. Pro-lifers, or pro-choicers, excuse me. Pro-choicers, you guys have essentially won every major battle over the last 30 years. I think it's actually been longer than that, excuse me. You guys have won every major battle since 1973, so 41 years. Stop defending people who are doing cocaine when their children are born. Idiots. Stay tuned. 1-866-494-WVNN. 1-866-494-9866. There is no virtue in extremism. There is no virtue in checking your brain at the door. Use some common sense, dummies. It's the Dale Jackson Show, live and local, News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Depend on it. And to further highlight the fact that the pro-choicers have won the argument on abortion, let me just point out what happened in the last legislative session on these issues, okay? And there were a couple bills brought up, one of which would have prohibited abortions if a fetal heartbeat is detected, which can occur as early as 6 weeks. That did not pass. Okay, if you want to talk about a bill that would limit abortions in the state of Alabama, that's it. Okay, that right there is it. And I will tell you, that issue right there, that issue they won, was a win for the pro-choicers. Yet, I know, it's cool and it's hip to say, oh my God, under attack, it's the end of the world. Ah, it's over. Even in Alabama, that bill failed. Here are the abortion bills that did pass. And they're common sense stuff. I mean, one of them is kind of a joke, in my opinion. The other, I'm very surprised it didn't exist as it already stands. The one that's kind of a joke increases from 24 to 48 hours, the period between when a woman receives information about adoption, risks, and fetal development, and when an abortion can be performed. Whoop-de-doo. They moved it to 48 hours as opposed to 24 hours. Woo! I'm sure that's going to do a lot. It's not at all. What it's going to do is just create a wait for the abortion to be performed. Again, if you want to get an abortion, there it is. You can still do so. The other one is the one that I'm kind of shocked that didn't exist already. It tightens regulations for a parent to give consent for an abortion. Changes the process for girls under 18 seeking consent in juvenile court for an abortion without parental notification. Let me help you out here. A parent of a child under the age of 18 will know when their child is undergoing a major medical procedure. I'm sorry, if you think that's extreme, you're extreme. Okay? And not only extreme, you're a little bit crazy. Because if I was a parent, if I am a parent and I find out that my child has gone and got an abortion under the age of 18, and the people who performed that abortion did not call me and tell me that she was undergoing a surgery That could, by the way, potentially be life-threatening. I'm going to be pretty damn pissed off. And I think that every parent has a right to know what their underage child is doing. Because keep in mind, you're responsible for everything your child does, aren't you? If you're a parent, you're responsible for everything your child does. If your child racks up some medical bills, guess who's going to have to pay them? You. If your child commits some property damage, guess who's going to have to pay for it? You. So these guys, absolute insane. If you think that's extreme, you're crazy. You're absolutely, absolutely crazy. And as I say this, I get a story sent to me from Real Clear Politics. Pro-life Democrats squeezed by a partisan issue. During the debate that led to the passage of the Affordable Care Act, the dwindling band of pro-life Democrats in Congress saw an opportunity to extend their influence. But it didn't turn out as they hoped. If anything, the fight over Obamacare may have marked the end of their limited clout. Quote, you could feel the excitement among this group who are like, I can vote for this, recalled pro-life party activist Kristen Day regarding language that was in the proposal for the bill. They were proud of it. Michigan Democrat Bart Stupak fashioned an amendment that would have explicitly prevented taxpayer funds from underwriting abortion, putting it in line with current laws under the Hyde Amendment, which bans federal funding for abortion except in cases of rape and incest. 15 House Democrats joined him, asserting they'd vote against the health care law if it failed. The amendment failed. It passed the House. It was never taken up in the Senate. Stupak and all but one of the other pro-life House Democrats supported the health care bill anyway. And now they're paying for it. Boo-hoo! They didn't live up to their word, and now they're being punished. Yes, we'll call that being squeezed. Stay tuned. Live, local, WVNN.